Those of you who were here last week know the very content of what this lesson is all about. For the benefit of our visitors, let me say that this congregation has for 9 years given a special contribution on the last Sunday of the month of January, and all of that money will be devoted to mission work. Prior to 9 years ago, we just had a 52 weeks budget, and all of the monies that were given over the 52 weeks included the mission work monies and all the rest, and operational expenses of the church, and efforts to evangelize and just to reach out and to touch the lives of others and help others, individuals, in so many ways. But our elders in their wisdom thought, you know, this congregation may have a greater desire to do mission work, because that's really why the church exists. And so they decided, 9 years ago, that instead of running the church on a 52 weeks budget, we'll run it on a 51 weeks budget. And that's remarkable in and of itself, because it allowed that $50,000 that we call the base sum, it allowed that $50,000 to be removed from that. And the elders came before the church and said, here's what we're going to do. We've got to have $50,000 on that Sunday in order just to meet our commitment to missionaries and continue our work. But if you want to give more to mission work, here's something else we can do. Here's something else we can do. And here's something else we can do. And something else we can do. And so we built a pyramid of layers of if we have this much, we can do this. And if we have this much, we can do this. And if we have this much, we can do this. And that first Mission Sunday, instead of $50,000, which we'd given the previous year for mission work, we gave $125,000 on that Sunday. And over the last 9 years, this church has given $1,042,000 for mission work. And that's really what today's lesson is about. Last Sunday, we look back at what we have done in the past. And now, we take a look at this year. What are we going to be able to do in 2013? I don't know. That will be determined by this congregation. We are obviously aware of some of the funds that we've committed to missionary that are still a part of that base, that foundational kind of monies that we need. And I'm thankful for our missionaries, and Josh and Kara and Josiah and Vivian. We're glad you're here today. We're so thankful that you've worked with this church for 4 years, have been working for this church for 2.5 years, however long that is, down in Paraguay. We're just glad for your willingness to sacrifice and to be down there, and that you're able to be here this day. And it's great, great joy to look at that base. And we're involved in some really, truly outstanding mission work. And we ought to rejoice about that. But there are some challenges that lie before us. And I know that those of you who are members of this congregation will understand when I say there are challenges that lie before us. There are some really exciting things that we may be able to do. But whether we're able to do it or not will not be determined by me. It will not be determined by the elders. It will be determined by your willingness to sacrifice and to make special efforts to perhaps delay spending monies, or perhaps going in, reaching into some monies you thought, well, I'm going to use this money for that. No, I'm going to give this money for God. And what you give next Sunday is between you and God. It's not anybody's business. It's just your way of saying to God, Lord, I'm thankful to be a part of Palm Beach Lakes and to be a part of a church that's living and active and that's trying to reach out and make a difference in the world. Let's look at that base number. You began looking at it, and the number that is there on that base number is $58,650. This is the money, we'll be talking individually about our missionaries, but this is the money that is to be used to fulfill commitments that we've made to men that say to individuals, you go overseas and we will protect you and we will take care of you and we'll supply your needs while you're over there. Or say to individuals who are already over there, we want to be a part of the work that you're doing. And so we look at Africa. And when we look at Africa, there's Nina Afforji in Nigeria. We have supported Nina Afforji since 1994. And what a great, great work he is doing. He's so good about sending back reports about the work that he's doing. In fact, Josh, I believe you went over and met him when you were working here as with our young people. We sent Josh, and so Josh knows 904G, and so we're excited about the work that he's doing. You look at the pictures on the screen, and you'll see the evidence of the kind of work that he's doing. Now, in Zimbabwe, which used to be called Rhodesia, it's a communist nation in reality, but there we have Tumuka Runashi, and there he is doing a similar great work. And while we're not sending in vast, large dollars every month, because their standard of living needs to be similar to the standard of those to whom they're working, we have been involved with these two men, and we ought to thank God. We ought to thank God for Nana and for Tumuka. We ought to thank God for all of the things that they have done. Now, in this last year, we've added another missionary down in the South Pacific. We were giving some monies to him, but now Scott Shanahan, he's spoken here several times, and we've given him monies off and on, but now he becomes a part of the base, a part of the church that we're really involved with and working with. And by the way, Scott will be here later this year to give another update on the work that he's doing here. His wife, by the way, is pregnant. You may not know that, but his wife is pregnant, and so we're excited about what's happening there. And I know you're thrilled to think about, look at that vast South Pacific with all of the nations that are there, and there we are. We're there involved with Scott Shanahan in the work that he's doing there. But it gets better than that, does it not, when we talk about Joey Tree. Joey was just here, a month ago? And Joey, as far as I know, has the only full-time Church of Christ television station in the world. It's amazing how all of that came about, living out there on that smaller island, wanting to get on television. He went down to talk to the people at the television station about what could be done. And they said, you can just set up your own cable. And so 24/7, the gospel is being preached by Joey Treat. Well, let me tell you the kind of man Joey Treat is. Joey said when he put that television station on the air, he said, this is not going to kill the work. This is going to be something that's supplementary. We need to stay involved in the lives of people. And when he comes back and gives his report, I want you to understand he's not talking about sitting in a desk somewhere in an air-conditioned office and doing nothing. He's out in the field just working diligently as he can, still being a missionary. And there's an appendage that's involved. In fact, the first studio that he ever had was on his back porch or on a part of his house, and they just set up a camera there and filmed with the tropical background that was behind that broadcast place. And it is remarkable what he's doing. Now, there obviously he's using tape programs from other places, but we've been involved with Joey Treat since the year 2004, and we really, really are thankful for that aspect of it. When we talk about Scott Shanahan and Joey Treat and the South Pacific, who else do you think about? Well, who does not know Robert Martin? We've been associated with Robert Martin since 1989. That's 11 plus what? That's 24 years we've been involved with Robert Martin. And every time Robert comes here, he builds a fire in this church. You know, sometimes we'll put the basket out when a missionary comes through and there'll be $1,000 that's given. When Robert Martin comes, this church is so sold on Robert Martin as a missionary, there's $4,000 that are given whenever Robert shows up. Why? Because we know what he's doing. When Robert arrived out in the South Pacific, the church might have been on maybe three or four of the 22 nations that are there in the South Pacific. And now, primarily through the influence of Robert, Robert hasn't done it all, but he's encouraged so many other individuals to get involved in that work, individuals like Scott Shanahan and others, and he's stirred up so many individuals that the church is on 17 islands of island nations of the South Pacific. And just to show you the impact of that, here is Robert Martin's influence on Josh. Easter Island, the most remote place on earth. Guess what? Robert and our missionary down in South America, Josh, have been to Easter Island already twice with a desire to go back to the most remote place on this earth. Folks, you are a part of that. Now, remember the scripture reading that was read,
and hear the words of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Who is he that plants and who is he that waters? Well, Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, but he who plants is nothing and he who waters is nothing. It all belongs to God. But aren't you thankful? Aren't you thankful to the depths of your souls that you can stand and look at the work that is happening in Africa and down in South America, and how thrilling that work is down in South America. And we'll talk more about that in a minute. But the impact this church is having out in the South Pacific. Thanks be to God for this church. And there's some other group of individuals we need to be thankful for as our missionaries, and that's our teens. Young people, we want all of you to know. We want all of you in the junior high and all of you in the senior high to know how much this church loves you and how thankful we are as we see you grow and as we see you mature in Christ. You know, we've seen some of you all, you know, we've known you longer than you've known yourself. You know, I think you'll understand that. You were born here. We've known you and we still love you. And we are so unbelievably thankful whenever you go out and teach in those vacation Bible schools and do all that you can to go out and to help in that work that's there. And funds will be given on Mission Sunday. It's a part of the base. It's a part of the work that we're committed to. And that is to encourage our young people to get involved in that matter of mission work. We cannot spend a lot of time talking about Apologetics Press. But can you imagine, I was thinking this morning, what would happen if Apologetics Press did not exist? What a vacuum there would be in the world, not just in the church, but what a vacuum there would be in the world about the defending of the authenticity of the Bible and the authenticity, the account of creation and the evidences for believing in God and believing in the Bible. And their website, you know, that has between 7 and 8 million hits every year from 140, 150 nations, maybe it's more than that, 173 nations, I believe the number comes back to me, nations in the world last year. And this church has contributed to that work since 1986, but we've had a very, very special relationship with Apologetics Press since the year 2004. Every year, this eldership goes up and sits down with those men that are Apologetics Press, those four men that are out almost every weekend defending the faith and defending what you and I believe in. And they've come here and they've spoken to us here in this place. They come again and again. And the excellent job they do here, they do around the world. And we use them in the efforts here and in every time we want to have a special thing. One of the first people we think about who at Apologetics Press can come and do an unbelievably outstanding job in relationship to that. They're in our base because we regularly, every month, send monies to them to support that work. And our elders are wise counselors to those men in dealing with situations that come up before them. And we really, really are thankful. Who else is in that base? What about Troy and Andrea? You know those folks? Andrea grew up here in Palm Beach County, and her influence was so powerful on Troy, whom she married, that they're our missionaries down in South America. Now, they're under the oversight of the church at Milton. They're collecting the funds there. But we told the elders of the church in Milton, now we want you to know that you can be their overseeing congregation, collect their fund, as long as we can claim them as our missionaries. Not that we oversee them in the sense in which we oversee Josh and the work that he's doing there, but Josh is our missionary. And look at the work that they're doing there, and how excited are you about the reports that come back? I mean, Josh has only been back in the country, three months or so, and already had five baptisms while he's away. Maybe he ought to just stay away. But it's just really, really great at the work that's being done there and how thrilling it is. Look at those pictures. Aren't you excited about all that's happening there when the church gets together and you are a part of that? Who is he that plants? Who is he that waters? They're nothing. But God has worked with those who have planted and those who are watering, and glory be to God, and thank God for the interest that this church has in that work down in Paraguay. And then what can we say about Josh and Kara and how much we love and appreciate them? Josiah, when you got here, you were just about this tall whenever you were here, and it's just been great to watch you grow up and to see you and to see what you and Vivian have done in the maturing that you've done. But Josh and Kara, there is no way that we can express the love and devotion that we have to Troy and Andrea and to the two of you and your family for all that you've done. And it's glory to God, but it is marvelous that God has blessed us in so many ways. 15 years ago, listen, 15 years ago, who would have thought that this one church would be having the impact that it has? We're nothing, but I am so thankful that we're nothing, that God can use our nothingness to bring glory and honor to His name. That's our base. And so next Sunday, just in keeping with the commitments that we have made, we believe that this congregation will give the $58,000 that's needed. But what if we got more money? What if we got $72,000? Wonder what we could do. Immediately above the base is that work that we've done for such a long, long time, and that is providing funds, special requests for mission trips. Regularly, the people of this congregation and that people know of this congregation send letters to the church and say, "I'm going on a mission trip. It's a 2 weeks mission trip. Can you help me go?" And some of you have been a part of it. Not something that was budgeted like some of the other things we'll be talking about today, but just special requests, special situations that come up. And this eldership has seen the need to have those funds because they believe in encouraging people to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And we want to be a part of whatever they do whenever they get into these mission places. And then there's another thing that we need to look at. Have you ever noticed our building out on I-95? This picture is rather old. When we moved into this place, could you see the building pretty good from an I-95? You been down I-95 lately? I counted the other day at 60-plus miles an hour how many seconds it was before I could not see the building because of all those trees that are there. 2 seconds is all I got to look at everything that was there because our building is being hidden. And for years, our elders have talked about, in fact, shortly after we moved in the building, there were plans for us to put a sign up out in that area so that the church could be more visible. And there are all kinds of hurdles that we've got to overcome in order to get that sign. And our elders are working on that, trying to jump through all the hoops that's necessary. We got so many trees out there, and they're out on the government side of the fence out there. And so we got to deal with the Department of Transportation. And then we got the canal. We got trees. And Doug Carrick, thank you for keeping those trees cut down on our side of the property as it was. But there are a lot of but this idea of having a sign on I-95 has been a gleam in the eyes of our elders for all of these years. And if the church becomes invisible to I-95, there needs to be a visibility. And so we're beginning this year the collecting of funds to go down that road. And so if we can get to that level of $72,000, there will be the beginning of those funds. That'll not fund the sign, but it'll fund all of the monies that we need to spend in order to get ready to get the sign, and then it'll become the nest egg so that hopefully we'll be able to have our own sign that will be an outreach, and people will be able to know where this church is by the sign that's there. Now, if you want to hear something that's excited about it, you get one of these elders and talk about it. Something that they've talked about for years about having, and they have led us in the paths of righteousness and been a blessing to us, And they believe that this is something that we really, really need to do in order that we might serve God. And so that's if we get to $71,000, $72,000. What about if we got $81,000? $81,000 will then fund another mission trip to Paraguay for our members. Now, that does not fully fund anybody that wants to go, but it is to supplement the monies that you have or the monies that you will raise in order that you might go to Paraguay and knock on doors, that you might go down there and pass out flyers, and in order that you might go down there and do whatever kind of work those missionaries say, we need you to do this, we need you to do this, and to get down there and to spend time that's down there. I don't know if you can recognize any of those people in that picture up there on the top right-hand corner, but those are Palm Beach Lakes folks. And so it's our plans this year to be able to send another mission team back down to that work, because that work is a part of the heart and the soul of this congregation. And if you want to know about Paraguay, ask those individuals whose faces are up there in the upper right-hand corner. Ask those individuals, are you really sold on that work in Paraguay? They're witnesses of these things. They can tell us how great that work is. And we want to be able to send some individuals back there. But then there's something to me that is even more exciting. And that is the thing that is in the process of developing. And let me introduce it by talking about Mauricio Yegros. Who on earth is Mauricio Yegros? There is developing right now a great, great work that Mauricio is going to be a part of. In just a few minutes, I'm going to ask Josh to talk about the Yegros family. You know, Mauricio's father has been here. Mauricio's father may one of these days be one of the first elders in the work that's down there in Paraguay. Great, great, godly family. Here's what's happening. Are you aware of how many Hispanic people there are south of us? There are 5.6 million people south of us, and 65% of them are Hispanic. That's a remarkable number, isn't it? You're talking about a mission field. You're talking about something that needs to happen. And so there is a team that is being formed right now at Fried Hartman that will become a reality. Some of the members later this year. They're going to come down into this area and go originally down to Pompano Beach, spend a year with the congregation that is there, and then to spend the next 5 years using all of their skills and all of their abilities to establish works of the Lord. You don't have to go across the ocean to be a missionary. And that's the point let me tell you, we're excited about Mauricio because of who he is. Guess where he's from? Asuncion. He's one of the members of the church down in Paraguay. He's come to Fried Hartman. He's majored in mission work and in I think it was pre-engineering. I had those notes here somewhere. And he's done an outstanding work. But his desire is to do long-term mission work. We do not know what the future holds about Mauricio in reference to Paraguay. But we do know that one of these days that Josh and Troy will not be there. Is it possible? Is it possible when our missionaries are not there that we might not be able to be a part of what Mauricio does when he goes back down 5 years from now? Goes back down to that part of the world, maybe to another city there in Paraguay, to establish the church in another place. And our elders see this as a tremendous opportunity right on the front end of the work that he's going to be doing, as is to make a commitment to him that we're going to be a part of that work that you're doing down there. But you don't know Mauricio, but there's somebody here who does know Mauricio, and I'm going to let him tell you all about him.
The Yegros family are not unlike many of the families here. They are fiercely loyal and humble servants of God. And that echoes into their lives, into their businesses, into their children. They have 5 children, Luis, Romy, Elena, who is here with us this morning, and Mallory. We call him Mallory. And his heart is to do mission work. And that's the heart of this family. And he's gone to prepare himself to be a missionary. And he has said to more than one person that his heart is always going to be in Paraguay. And he will one day go back. But to be a part of a family that loves God as much as we do and wants to see the work and see mission, see souls brought to God, that's the kind of family and that's the kind of young man that Mallory is.
And I'm not sure where Mauricio fits in, fits into this 5 years down the road. I know where it fits into in this year. And that is for us to be a part of a mission team. Glenn Hinton, who spent at least 15 years down in Argentina, an older individual will be down there to help that get that work started. That's just south of us, down in Pompano, at least for the first year, and then to branch out once they get settled in, once they know the area, and then to branch out to establish congregations all over that Hispanic part of the world. What a blessing. What a blessing that will be. And I'm excited. I'm excited about the work that he's doing now. And as I sit and dream about what might happen in the future, who knows what Mauricio may mean to that work and how he may be a part of us, not just for the commitment that we make on this mission Sunday, but for the commitment that we can continue to make on and on. There's a picture of Mauricio. Is that up there yet? Josh, or David, we have the picture of Mauricio. Everybody can see. It's a part of a group called LAMP, which means Latin American Mission Project. And there's Mauricio and his wife, Kayla. She's from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. They met at Fried Hardeman, and they're ready to go and do mission work for the Lord. Great, great, exciting things that are happening. Suppose we were on Mission Sunday able to get $98,000. Well, $98,000 would allow us to add one more issue of that Heart to Heart magazine. You see, we've already mailed out 200,000 copies of that magazine. And today, by nightfall today, we will have ready to take to the post office this very week 100,000 more copies of that magazine. And you've seen the magazine, many of you have, you know, beautiful color magazine, and all it has no address on it except the Palm Beach Lakes congregation. And when we sent out that first issue, we had no idea what the response would be. We knew this, that the key is saturation. That if you send one and then a few weeks or a few couple of months later send another one and a couple of months later send another one. And so we have funded already three issues of this magazine. We want to add another one. We want to not only in January of this year to mail one out, we want to mail another one out in March. And all of a sudden, the repetitive reception of this, built around the principle of saturation, the repetitive nature of that really adds to the impact that it's had. And we have said, and that's one of the reasons we ask our visitors, how did you hear this church? Some people don't want to volunteer that, but several of them have volunteered on that card, and then in conversations, other times conversation with members, I'm here because this church invited me to come here. And there are people who are members of this church right now who are members of this church because of the mailing out of Heart to Heart in this area around this building. We've done that for years in the 8,000 homes around this building, and the decision was made, and you responded so well to that. That 100,000 issues of that magazine went out. And a couple of months later, another 100,000 issues went out all over the 500 homes around every member's house here today, with the exception of a couple of them where we had a foul up in getting address labels. Almost every member of this church, the 500 homes around your house, has heard of the Lord Jesus Christ, heard of His church. Does that thrill you? You stop and think about it. And Palm Beach County doesn't know what's about to happen. When later this week, they'll go to their mailbox this week or next week, they'll go to their mailboxes and 100,000 individuals will read about the Palm Beach Lakes Church of Christ. We want to do it not just in January, but we want to do it with in March also. God help us to do whatever we can to reach out and to touch this county with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, a part of that 98,000, if we reach that, is our continued efforts to help the work over in Marsh Harbor. For a while, we were sending a larger sum of money over there to be a part of supporting the preacher there, but the elders decided we're not going to forever fund work. We're going to start cutting it back and cutting it back. And so we dropped that support, $100. We were, I think, giving originally $400 a month. We've dropped that back to $100, and now we're not making any contribution over there. Not financial contribution per se. But are we tied to that sister congregation over there in Marsh Harbor? When the hurricane came through just this past year, there was a brother over there by the name of Alex. Those of you who have been over there know of him as the onion farmer. His house was totally destroyed. And he was living in his car. Now, he didn't have that much of a house to start with. It was more like a shipping crate that they'd cut windows in, put a door in of some kind. But all of it was destroyed by the hurricane. When the elders heard of that, and thank God for what Jeff Leslie does in keeping us informed about needs that are there, this church was able to send $2,000. And that paid a large part of getting him a house in which he could live. A brother in Christ, 100 miles away, left homeless, now has a place to live. And we're so very much apart. Jeff has submitted plans to the elders as a part of a new program we'll be talking about in the next 3 weeks, of plans to carry members of the church over there and go over there and conduct workshops and go over there and to take individuals to go over there and spend a week over there going out visiting the wayward members to try to strengthen that church. Well, let me tell you what's happened at Marsh Harbor. Our first association with Marsh Harbor, other than the preacher who was there, there was not a male in that church, not one male in that church, who could participate in the worship. Jason did it all. And now you look at the church at Marsh Harbor, and wherever Jason has to be away, there are men in the church that do the preaching. They're vibrant, they're living, they're active. We're nothing, but God used our nothingness to help strengthen that church and to put in that part of the Caribbean a place where the gospel can resound and go out and out and out. We want to make other trips over there, and that's a part of that if we can reach 98,000. We'd like to reach 111,000 and add one last issue of the Heart to Heart magazine. And if we can give sacrificially in relationship to that, we shall be able to add another one. Not just the one that we do today, and not just the one that if we get to the 81,000 level, or pardon me, to the 98,000 level, but to add another. Mail out 400,000 invitations, 400,000 booklets with Bible truth in them, 400,000 articles that will challenge the minds of those who keep getting this, and finally saturation is reached and they say, I'm going to read about this. And we already know, listen, we already know as a fact that every time we've mailed out that brochure, we have touched the lives of people that we would never, ever have touched in any other way. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God that He's using this church.
We are laborers together. We work together. We are laborers together. The old King James says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the verse that was read, we are laborers together. But it says more than that. We're laborers together with God. Now then, if we exceed the $111,000, then there will be more funds. And the focus of them will be, assuming that we'll be able to get all of the permits and all of the other things, the focus of those other monies will be in order that we might be able to have more monies for that sign. We'll not get that this year. When we explored the cost of a sign, 10 years ago, $50,000 plus needed to put a sign. You couldn't begin to touch that sign for $50,000. And we're not even able, exactly what kind of sign we're going to get, but we don't want this church to become invisible. How many people have said to you, when you say, I'm a member of the Palm Beach Lakes Church of Christ, how many have said to you, is that church with the green roof, or the aqua roof, if they're better with colors? And you've been able to say, yeah, it's just south of North Lake Boulevard. Just south of North Lake Boulevard. One of the blessings we had when we moved into this place is the visibility that we've had to be able to say to individuals, here's the church. That's where you can come. That's where the Palm Beach Lakes congregation worships. And so we put those banners on the side of the building as an attempt to reach out. But those banners becoming more and more invisible. We got to do something. I hope the Department of Transportation let us cut down every tree that's there, make it as barren as it was when we moved in. Sort of doubt we'll get all of them cut down, and that we'll be able to remove a lot of the other trees that are on this side of the interstate. And once again, to create a visibility for this church. People need to know where the church building is, and that visibility is important. Now, how much of this will we do? The answer is found in this congregation. Do you know the good news is that we have the monies to do 3 times this amount of work? It just hasn't been given yet. And I know the most sensitive nerve to a person's body is the one that runs down to the pocketbook. But the message is not from some phone solicitor trying to sell you something. It is a message from God that says, I can use you. I can use this church. And I can take the widow's mite and multiply it. And there are those who are on very fixed income, and they'll not be able to give much. But God has blessed so many of us in so many ways, that He expects more of us. For to whom much is given, of Him much will be required. Will you pray about this? Will you dream about the things that are there before us? Will you dream about what can happen by us saying to the God of heaven, like Isaiah said in the long ago, hear my Lord, send me. Will we not with one heart and one soul say to the God of heaven, here we are, Lord, use us. Next Sunday will be the Sunday when that contribution will be made. And I hope that you'll pray about it. I hope your family will talk about it. And that you'll do everything you can to sacrificially help us reach the challenge that lies before us. God help us, that He may bless us this year like He's blessed us in former years, and we'll be able to magnify Him anymore. And now we come to that part of the service where we talk about you making a decision to follow Jesus. Have you decided to follow Him? His plan's real simple. You need to believe in Him, that God is and that Jesus is His Son, and you need to change. You need to make up your mind. You're going to change. That's what the Bible says. And you need to confess your faith in Jesus and be baptized that your sins might be forgiven. You need to do that. And then you need to live faithful until the very day that you die. And here's what He says,
Don't you become a Christian. Don't you give up. And I will give you the crown of life. And he cannot lie when he says that. We can help you go to heaven in any way. Won't you let us know by how? By coming to the front as together we stand and sing. Will you come?